watch them and we listen to stories all the time. That's a lot of what we do for our entertainment. But when you think about the kind of TV programs and the sorts of books that we read, and look at the popularity of those true crime. I guess I want to ask this morning, what's the attraction to that? Why all this interest in mystery? And as I had a little bit of a think about that over the last couple of weeks, I reckon that it might have something to do with our natural curiosity. You know, we want to find out things, we want to nut things out. And also, in those stories of mystery, the promise of discovery, the fact that we might be able to find something out. That we might be able to work it out even before the end when something is revealed. So there's just something about a mystery that the not knowing that makes us really want to find out. You might relate to that. And then we get the thrill of the discovery after the tension of not knowing, you know, who done it or what the story's playing out to whatever, what was really going on behind the scenes. You know, we get to find that out. And sometimes we've worked it out, sometimes we haven't, sometimes it comes from left field as the story that we're watching or reading or whatever are finally revealed. And that's why we usually start a book at the beginning. We don't usually read the last pages. I'm not going to, you know, shame or embarrass anybody, but if you're one of those people that likes to read the last few pages of the book to find out whether it's worth reading, we'll just let that sit there. But most people want to start the book at the beginning, right? And we don't usually have a look at the last bit of the movie before we watch the whole movie. We want to see the story built and the mystery built, and then we want to find out at the end when it is at the end. So in a good mystery, we're kind of hanging on the edge of our seats, and how's the story going to end? What's going to come of this? Well, this morning, as we do begin this new series here at West Rider, I just want to invite us into a story, a kind of mystery, if you like. It's not one that's unfamiliar to many of us, but it's a story where some of the mystery has now been revealed to us. Some of it's been shown to us. Some of it's been unpacked. But it's also a story which is still playing out, and there's still more to play. There's more to come, more parts yet to discover. And this one is God's story, but it's also our story. And we're actually living in this one. We're living as part of this story. And there's still some mystery to it because it's still being written. We don't know all the bits yet. Now, the start of John's Gospel, as Fran just read for us, takes us back. It takes us way, way back to the start of the story. Better still, back to before the beginning of the story, you know, the pre-story, or even before the introduction to the story. What was God up to? What was he up to? Well, John sets the scene for us. Before he tells the story, and through the rest of his gospel reveals in the beginning, John begins. That's what he starts with, in the beginning. And if we see those three words, it's an echo of an earlier time in Scripture when we hear those three words as well. At the very start of Scriptures, at the beginning of Genesis, the very first verse of Scripture. In the beginning. Just go back one. In Genesis, it's about creation. In the beginning, and we hear the creation story laid out. And here again, John starts in the beginning. As we're looking at mind control? I am? Okay, we'll see how it goes. So in John, It's like in the... Even before the world we live in was made. You know, all of the other Gospels start somewhere in history. Mark starts with John the Baptist, kicks off really quickly into John the Baptist. Luke starts. Matthew, he goes a little bit further back. He lists the genealogy, which starts, you know, with Abraham, goes right back to Abraham. But soon enough, he gets to Joseph and Mary just before Jesus arrives. But John goes back to the very beginning, back before Abraham, back before even Adam, before history and before time. And here's the surprise. The Jesus who we know from the gospel stories, the Jesus born as a baby, born of Mary, in a manger in a town of Bethlehem, as we know so well from the Christmas story, was already there right at this beginning, before history even begins. He was there. So John, inspired by the Spirit of God, he messes with any idea that Jesus just turns up at Christmas time, that first Christmas, that's his first, you know, his first presence, his first appearance. When he writes these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So this term that he uses, Word, capital W Word. What does that mean? Why does he use that word? Well, Word with a capital W, or Logos as it is in the Greek, is a really big word that encompasses a whole lot that has to do with God. It's like this rational wisdom principle by which everything exists. It's like God's powerful self-expression in creation and in revelation and in salvation. It involves his speaking of things into existence, which again takes us back to Genesis, when God spoke and things were created. So it's not a word, it's the word. It's the biggie. It encompasses a whole lot of that. And then when we go digging a little bit more and we read on a little bit further, we find that word, capital W, with all of those God meanings attached to it, is a person. And it's a person through whom God fully expresses himself to us. He reveals himself. He shows himself to us as the Word made flesh. And of course, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God from the beginning. So Jesus was already there. He was always there right at the start, before creation, at creation. In fact, if we read on, we find out even more. It's already up there. Through him, all things were made. This is talking about the Word, the Word, capital W, Jesus. Through him, all things were made. Without him, just there. He wasn't just present at creation. He created. He was with God. He was God. He is God, of course. The Word was part of speaking creation into existence. It's just a mind-bending mystery, isn't it? So with that in mind, we go back to Genesis, the start of Scriptures. Back to the story of creation. The beginning of, I guess, the mystery of human history. And our story, of course, is a story where the wonder of creation is quickly spoiled by the rebellion of those who'd been created in the very image of God himself. Where the created ones rebelled against the one who'd created them. And the rest is quite literally our history, right? You can read about it through the Old Testament. You can read about it in all of our history books. Mixed in amongst the good bits, and there are wonderful good bits in there, our history is also littered with, you know, with conflict and pain and death and darkness and all the consequences of that rebellion. And we see some of that in our world. We just prayed about some of those things just now. Kind of messes up the story a little bit, this rebellion. But it does bring us into the mystery, doesn't it? If God created it, it brings us into the mystery. What's God up to? How's this story going to play out? How's it going to end? What's God going to do? Who'll be the hero? Who'll come in to save us from the darkness? Because we have a sense, don't we, in our hearts, that that's not where we're supposed to live. Who'll save us from ourselves? Well, we read on. Yeah, next slide. I'll let you guys do it. Thanks. In him was life, and that light was the light. Good slide background. And in and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So there's some really hopeful words in there, isn't there, about how this is going to play out as John introduces his gospel here. Light coming to overcome the darkness. And then the next bit, John brings us up to just about where the other gospels start when he introduces us to a man also called John. And of course, it's John the Baptist. Can we have the next slide, please? John the Baptist came as a witness to prepare the way for the light that was coming into humanity. And so the mystery begins to unfold a little bit. John the Baptist is kind of our transition guy, if you like. He's the guy that comes in and announces that the light is coming, that it's imminent, that it's just about to happen. Coming back to our more modern stories and mysteries that we started off talking about at the beginning, there's often some little hints along the way, isn't there, about how the story's going to play out. Sometimes they throw you off the track, sometimes they're on track or they give you some hints. John kind of plays that part in here. The hints of what's to come, the hints of what God is actually up to, the next part of the story. So there's some glimpses of hope, even in the darkest moments of the story or the deepest parts of the mystery. There's some hints. Keeps us reading. Keeps us on the edge of our seats if we're reading, you know, a novel or a story or the Bible passages. Keeps us interested, wondering how things might work or will they work out? Are they going to all come together? It's a little bit different in the scriptures because God's got that in hand. But it's part of the tension. It's part of the mystery and part of the story that we live in along the way. So what happens next in our story? What happens next in our story? Well, as we know, Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And we know the Christmas story, don't we? We're pretty familiar with that, probably all of us. But just hang on a second. Because it's time for us just to pause a moment and just sit with that for a moment. The person, the Word, who was there at creation, the one who was actually part of speaking creation into being, the Word of life, the one who gave us life in the first place, this one is then actually born into the world. Born in the same way each one of us was. A first child for his mother Mary and for his tradesman dad, Joseph. I just want to take a moment for that to soak in a little. Cass and I have a new little granddaughter. is about 12 weeks old, just over 12 weeks old now. And the other day, our daughter Erin sent us this video, and it was a video where Ren, the little 12-week-old, was kind of lying there in a bassinet or whatever, and Anna, her 2-year-old sister, kind of had her head kind of leaning on her. And you know how babies just kind of make random movements, like when they're little? They just kind of move their arms and moving around or whatever. Well, here's this video of Anna, the older one, in front of Ren. And with her random arm movements, you know, Ren looks like she's patting Anna. She's sort of patting her on the head like this. And I think Anna is probably thinking, well, isn't that nice? My little baby sister's patting me on the head and she loves me and all of that sort of stuff. But we adults know that actually Anna's just getting in the way of some pretty random arm movements that Ren's making. And so it's a great little video, and we appreciated getting that one. I mean, you know, like Ren's cute. Anything. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's just moving her arm. She doesn't even really worked out that the hands are hers yet, I don't think. And she just knows just about nothing at this point. She's almost completely helpless, right? As any little bub would be. Without a mum and dad and her helpful 2-year-old sister, she couldn't hope to live and survive at all on her own. So here we have Jesus, the creator of the world, born into the world and existing as a completely helpless little infant with his arms waving around just like little Ren. Doesn't that just blow your mind? I mean, who could come up with such a plot twist? A story. I mean, it's a mystery, right? There's a mystery right there. We get too used to it as we celebrate Christmas, you know, the baby born in a manger, all of that sort of stuff. But this concept is like, it's nothing short of outrageous and kind of ridiculous. Wonderful, yes, but just out there. It's quite remarkable for a God, that God, to voluntarily humble themselves to such a great extent. The Apostle Paul talks about it in Philippians, and I think we're up to the next slide, where Paul says, being in very nature God, talking about Jesus, he made himself nothing. Helpless babe, born of Mary. Human, little bub. Do we get that? And as we read in John, next slide, please. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, came and lived among us. John continues, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he showed that and demonstrated that as he lived among us. What's John saying? He's saying he's been here. He's lived with us. John was one of the ones that went around with Jesus for those three and a half years of his ministry time. We've seen him in action. We've seen his grace and truth played out in so many different ways. We've seen his glory, the glory of the Son. The same Word, capital W, that we were talking about before, who was there before history, before the creation of the world, becomes flesh and dwells right amongst us, gets stuck into living, just as we need to get stuck into living. And we read all about what dwelling among us looks like in the rest of John's Gospel and in the other Gospels. They play that out. That's why it's a good thing for us to occasionally, or more than occasionally, dip back into the Gospels. Read them, listen to them, whatever, because we get a sense of what God with us was like when Jesus dwelt and walked among us. Just to remind ourselves of that. A wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, awesome Savior, the light shining in the darkness, a light that the darkness cannot overcome. But here's another mystery. Can we have the next slide, please? The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, we've just been talking about that, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Many of those who he created, people, wouldn't recognize him for who he was. They wouldn't receive the fullness of God's word, capital W, even when it was revealed in a person. And what a tragedy that is. Point is, we have a choice. Everybody does. We're given an invitation. It's not a demand, it's an invitation. Here's Jesus. He came from God. He was there before creation. What are you going to do with him? We have that choice. And some choose to say no to that. That's the kind of sad or the hard bit. But there's happier news as well if we have a look at the next slide. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. I love that. I love that. Children of God. That's part of our identity, who we are, if we've said yes to Jesus. Born again, born of God. There is really, in one sense, only one son, and that is Jesus, of course. But there are many children. Many children. And all are welcomed, all are invited. Children that are redeemed from the darkness, rescued from the consequences of that original rebellion that we read back in Genesis. So is the mystery all over? Is the story all told? Well, not yet. Not yet. There's still many unanswered questions for us. Much of it has been revealed. The Apostle Paul talks about the mystery revealed in Jesus. But we don't know all the bits of the story yet, do we? And even though we know and can trust the one who holds us in his hands, we don't know how all the little bits turn out for us. And you know, to be quite honest, it often unfolds quite slowly, doesn't it? We can become very impatient with God's pace. I was reminded of this, you know, in a sermon that I heard recently, that our God does things differently. He does things often more slowly or unhurriedly, in our terms anyway, in his own time, not ours. And sometimes we have to be really patient. We have to wait for his work in us and in others and for our futures. We know that, don't we? We know that. At times that can be difficult. We do have to be patient. And at times that can be really painful. Life can be really painful. But you know what we can know? In the meantime, and through all of the challenges we face and all the impatiences, he's always with us. These are promises. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And the other promises are that one day we will dwell with him. Amen. I'm hearing an amen. And you know, those promises are really important to grab hold of because they flow out of the reality that God has gone to such great lengths to rescue us. That's a really big thing to remember. God has gone to such great lengths. The Word, there at creation, born among us to rescue us and save us, which is how the gospel plays out. God's gone to such great lengths, so we know that his promises to us are sure. Otherwise, why would he go to such great lengths? What a mystery that is. Jesus is the Word made flesh. born to us, born to live among us, and born to make us sons and daughters. It's just such a remarkable, powerful story to be a part of. A mystery story partly revealed, which remakes our whole sense of history and life and meaning. And a story which will one day be fully revealed for those who are seeking and following. And so the question I want to leave with us in the light of those amazing 14 verses we've looked at today, the question I'd like to leave us with, this is very simple. It's just to ask, how might you seek to engage or perhaps re-engage more fully with that story this week? What might you do to more fully engage with that? I want to leave that passage with us, just to sit with us this week. And I guess my prayer is that you'll allow that passage to make you curious and to discover and work out more of the mystery. Have a look at the Gospels and seek and uncover and find where we're up to in that. So that's an invitation, not a demand. Just like God invites and doesn't demand. But I invite you into that space to dwell on that passage this week. And may the Lord bless us this week as we do that. And just allow me to pray for you. And me. Lord God, we thank you for the magnificent story that you've placed us into. And in our wonder and amazement of how you've done that, Lord,